here. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Proverbs chapter number 11, and let's stand together, and we'll share a few thoughts that I trust will help us. I love being around missionaries, and I certainly thank God for the opportunity. I've spent most of my Christian life around missionaries. I think they're very special servants. Every local church ought to thank God every time a missionary comes, because that missionary is helping the church do what God has commissioned and commanded the local church to do. And they are our heroes and special people, and we certainly thank God for them. Proverbs chapter number 11, beginning in verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth much more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Lord, we thank you so much for this local New Testament church and this wonderful pastor that you placed here and his heartbeat for the world. And I pray that you bless. I know that he desires to see this church be totally involved in helping to get these missionaries on the field and churches planted. And I pray that you work in a very special way. Thank you that for all that has been done. Thank you for the special music and what a joy it is to be able to hear the choir and the ensemble and all of those who sang. And thank you for the privilege now to gather around the preaching of the Word of God. I pray you'll take me as your servant, cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless now the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, gives us a practical precept from Proverbs that I believe will make a difference in the life of a Christian, a life of a church member, the life of a local church. He gives the example of two farmers who had seed, and both of them handled the seed in a different way. He talks about one farmer who took the seed that he had in his possession and scattered it. He sowed it there very carefully and used it for the sake of other people, and the end result was he was blessed. Then you take the other farmer who took his seed and he withheld it and would not sow it and kept it for himself, and he ended up in poverty. This is also a good example of the attitude that we have with the resources that have been given to us. And we find here, as we use the same illustration here, one person takes his resources and he will use those resources in a special way for God, and he always ends up having more. The other person hangs on to his resources and he ends up in poverty. And then he makes a statement here in verse number 25 that I really want us to get a hold of as we think about the decisions that I'm going to make individually to help my local church do what God has commanded and commissioned it to do. There are going to be individual decisions made, and I want you to think about what this practical precept teaches us here today. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, when we think about the word liberal, there are a lot of things as a Bible-believing, fundamental, independent Baptist Christian, which I am, that I'm not liberal about. For instance, I'm not liberal, and you ought not to be either, about your philosophy. You ought not to be liberal in your politics. You ought not to be liberal in your standards. You ought not to be liberal in your music. We ought to hear good music like we heard here this day in this missions conference. Those things we ought not to be liberal about. But the Bible, God's inspired word, gives us something here that is okay to be liberal about. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat, or the liberal soul shall prosper, or the liberal soul is going to gain something in its life. And the liberal soul here is talking about a soul of blessing, or a giving soul. Now let me tell you something you probably already know. God, Almighty God, has made giving a part of worship. It's a part of worship. You can't worship God in the right way if you haven't learned how to give. After all, everything about our God demonstrates his willingness to give when he gave his only begotten son to die and shed his blood for our sins. Therefore, the spirit of worship for the born again child of God is an attitude of giving. And he says here in this Proverbs, the liberal soul. So we're going to get these 35 missionaries on the field and hundreds of others that we need to get out to reach over 7 billion people. I'll tell you what the local church need. We don't need a new program. We don't need a new plan. That's already been given to us by God. We need every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who's a member of a Bible-believing church to become a liberal soul. Amen. To become a soul of blessing. I'm here to be a blessing for the sake of other people. God's given me time and God's given me talent. And yes, God's given me treasure. And I want to be liberal in that to help my local church reach the world. So I want to talk about being a liberal giver. We ought to be stewards. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it is required in stewards that a man, that's talking about mankind and includes women and everyone else, every born again child of God, it's required of God that we become faithful in our stewardship. And the principles of stewardship are very simple. Accountability. I'm accountable to Almighty God for what I do with my time, my talent, and my treasure. And yes, I believe in and through the local church. So there ought to be accountability. Then there's dependability. Can God depend upon me? What if God gave me a better job? What if God gave me more resources? What if God gave me more time? What if God gave me children? Can he depend like he did Abraham on me being dependable and using what he gives me for his honor and glory? And then the third principle is availability. Yes, I'm accountable to God. I want to be dependable, but I want to be available. I want to make my time available and make my treasure available, make my talent available through my local church. Why? That these men and women can get to the field and plant churches, keep people out of hell, and have them have the same opportunity that we have in a good local New Testament church. So the thought that I want you to think about here for a few moments today is, am I a liberal soul? What can Lancaster Baptist Church do if every man and every woman and every boy and every girl who's a part of this local church became a liberal soul when it comes to giving to get the gospel around the world? And I want you to think about that for a few moments as I attempt here to take this passage and share with you what I believe is a liberal soul when it comes to giving to get the gospel around the world. Three things I want you to think about a liberal soul. He says in verse number 24, there is this scattereth. The first thing I want you to think about a liberal soul, first of all, is one who is generous in his giving. We need a church full of generous men and generous women and generous young people in our giving. I don't want need to be just a token giver or trying to get by or a casual giver. I need to understand I'm a steward. I'm managing things for God. Everything I have, my tithe, my talent, my treasure, it all belongs to Almighty God. I'm simply a manager, and I want to have the attitude is I want to be generous in my local church of giving in a certain way that I can speed up the process of getting missionaries to the field. He's generous. There is that scattereth and yet increases. So my thought ought to be, what do I have? I've got to invest it. I've got to involve it. I've got to increase in my giving through my local church. Why? I want to be a liberal soul. I want to be generous in my giving. And as a generous giver who's giving for the cause of getting the gospel around the world, there's some things I need to learn. I need to learn how to be a church giver. The Bible says upon the first day of the week, Let every one of you lay by himself in store as God has prospered him, and there be no gathering when I come. I just believe that you ought to pay your tithes and give your offerings and give your missions and give your time and give your talent in and through the local New Testament church. I don't think it's an organization. It's an organism. It's alive. As a matter of fact, I'm crazy enough to believe if I'm ever going to be lay up treasure in heaven, if I'm ever going to be rewarded for what I do with my time, talent, and treasure, I better do it in and through the local church. I believe that's important. So I need to learn how to be a church giver. I ought to come to the church with the idea, I'm here to worship God, not just how I sing, but I'm here to worship God in how I give. We need a church givers. And then I need to learn how to be a consistent giver. It's not every once a month or every once in a while or every time I come to church. I mean, a church giver ought to be consistent in his giving. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 say, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. A liberal soul, or a soul of blessing, is one who has learned not only to give, but how to give properly. Hey, I believe that giving, we don't have to tell anybody that giving is a part of the Christian life. But the problem is we need to learn what proper giving is. How do I give to please Almighty God? How do I give according to the Bible? How do I give to really help get missionaries on the field? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you a threefold principle of what I believe proper giving is. I believe it's through the local church. It'll be a church giver. I believe it ought to be consistent. But listen, what I believe is taught in the scriptures about proper giving. I believe it starts with paying. You can't ever give anything until you pay. I mean, I pay my mortgage once a month, but I can't pay anything extra until I pay what I owe. Doesn't that kind of make sense? Matter of fact, you make 12 payments a month on your mortgage company, you're not going to get a letter from the mortgage company congratulating you on how much you paid. But if you pay a little bit over on the principles, you'll get something to say, hey, you reduced it a little bit. It's amazing that people look to have all kinds of blessings for paying what we owe. Tithing is paying. The tithe is the Lord. Nobody ever spends God's tithe. And one of the great things for a church member who's just getting saved, just getting in the local church, like I learned 3 weeks after I got saved, pay God his tithe. If you don't pay it through the local church, you'll pay it some other place. John was missing from church for a while, and folks asked, where's John? They said, don't you know? He's in the hospital. God's taken out his tithes. And sometimes he has to take it by the car breaking down or extra doctor bill, but nobody's going to spend God's tithe. And let me say this to you as well. You can't give God anything that he accepts and bless you for until you first pay him what's already his. Amen. And let me throw this in as well. Even if you gave 52 weeks, paid your tithes 52 weeks of a year, that is not a sign of spirituality. That's a sign of obedience. I'm obeying God. I'm obeying God. Now, God's blessed, and he blesses us in spite of ourselves, but tithing is simply paying. In the church that I pastor, 90 to 95% of the people pay tithes, offerings, and missions, and building fund, and everything else. But our church could never operate just off the tithe. Real spiritual growth goes beyond paying. It's after I'm paying what I owe in act of obedience, till I start proving to God how much I love him by my willingness to sacrifice for a building program and sacrifice to help get missions around the world, sacrifice beyond my tithe, because what? I'm proving to the God who proved to me that he cared about my soul and sent his son to die. I'm proving to him that I love what he loves, the souls of mankind. And God wants churches planted all over the world. So proper giving, according to Malachi, We ought to be tithes and offerings. We ought not to be shocked about offering. God doesn't tell us how much of an offering to give, but I don't think any Christian who's a member of the local church can be biblical if you're not at least paying a tithe and giving some kind of an offering. Now, as I grow in my Christian life, I can't imagine going 1 year that God hadn't been good to me. Because he's been good to me, how could I not be willing to sacrifice a little bit more to be involved in that which is dear to his heart? That's getting the gospel around the world. So the giving begins with paying. Oh, let me encourage you. One of the greatest things I ever did 38 years ago as a Christian is the third week of my Christian life, I learned how to pay my tithes. And then I can remember in stewardship, I'm giving a 10% tithe. I wish I could get to where I could give half of a tithe in an offering. And I remember getting to 15%, and then I wanted to match my tithe, and then I got to 20%, and then I said, if I could just get to 10% in mission, and then I got to 30%, and then there was the building fund and the other things, and got to 40%, and you said, how did you make it? God just blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. If you can learn that as a new Christian right now, start paying your tithe because you have no choice. It belongs to the Lord. And then as you grow spiritual, as you fed and you see the goodness of God, start learning to sacrifice and to give more and get involved in the programs of your local church and give special offerings for the work of God. And you'll see that the liberal soul, the more you become liberal in your Christian life, the more God will bless you. So giving is paying. Then the offering is proving. And then I got to have the attitude in how I give. That's pleasing. The attitude of the heart. I ought to be a considerate giver, according to 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according that he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Can you imagine what will happen if every member of the Lancaster Baptist Church came to the church, start paying their tithes, and then it said, I love God so much, I'm going to get involved in giving offerings. And then I'm going to be hilarious when I do it. Every time the offering plate comes by, I'm going to start grinning with a cheerful heart, because the liberal soul shall be made fat, shall bless. All right, so a liberal soul is a generous giver. The second thing I want you to notice in verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. A liberal soul is generous in his giving, but in God wonderful, a liberal soul gains from his giving. Hey, let me tell you something. I get paid back. I get something in return. I ought not to give to get, but the God that I serve gives because I give. And we find here throughout the Bible is taught that giving hands are receiving hands. Give, and it shall be given unto you. What happens to many church people, we make all kinds of excuses. Well, I want to, and I could if I had it. If I had a better job, I had more money in the bank, if I had this, I could get involved in the offering. It's tough enough just to pay tithes, but I really can't do a whole lot because I don't have life. When I get it, I'll do it. The problem is we have too many people like Rufus. Rufus was that kind of person. Rufus said to his friend one day, hey, Rufus, we're good friends, aren't we? He said, man, you know we're good friends. He said, if you had $1 million, would you give your friend half of it? He said, man, if I had $1 million, 500,000 would be yours. I said, wow, we're good friends. You sure we're good friends? I said, man, you know we're good friends. He said, if you had $100,000, would you give me, your friend, half of it? He said, man, if I had $100,000, 50,000 would be yours. I said, we're good friends, huh? You know we're good friends. He said, if you had $1,000, would you give me half of it? He said, if I had $1,000, five $100 bills would be yours, my friend. He said, wow, we're good friends. You sure we're good friends? He said, man, you know we're good friends. He said, if you had $100, would you give me, your friend, half of it? If I had $100, two 20s and a 10 would be yours, my friend. Wow, we're good friends. Hey, Rufus, you sure we're good friends? Man, you know we're good friends. He said, if you had two hogs, would you give me one of them? Man, why you ask me that? You know I got two hogs. God, I want to give. If I had it, if I had a better job, if I had more money in the bank, I'd give. No, God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Giving hands are receiving hands. Sowing bountifully, according to 2 Corinthians 9:6, means blessings. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You see, a liberal soul has learned you reap out of the proportion of what you sow. And God says, I love the world. And I want missionaries on the field. And I want them there a lot faster than we're getting them there. But I want my local church to be the organism to get it done. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save some people. And I'm going to put them in that local church. And I'm going to put me some liberal souls in there. Some church givers that will give consistently in a generous way. You know what I'm going to do? They're going to make sacrifices. They're going to love me. They're going to give. But you know what? They're going to gain from their giving. They're going to learn that giving hands are receiving hands. And sowing bountifully means blessings. But we live in a world sometimes where there are problems. People lose jobs. And all kinds of things happen. The devil threatens our faith. But a liberal soul is not only a generous giver and gains from his giving, but a liberal soul is gracious in his giving. Verse 26, it says, he that withholdeth corn, the people will curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. This is a picture of the corn grower, who takes what he has, the seed. When they're needy people and really need it, but he's more concerned about himself and getting more for it. So rather than selling it when things are bad, he holds on to it. And the people end up cursing him. But the other person sees the need, and regardless of circumstances, regardless of the conditions, regardless of the consequences, say, what I have belong to God. And in spite of the situations, I'm going to sow. And God bestows graces. One of the greatest pictures of this is found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, as we oftentimes use in the grace giving to missions. We find the churches of Macedonia. We're not rich churches. We're not wealthy churches. But the Bible says the grace of God was bestowed upon us. God's grace is still sufficient. Hey, let me tell you something. God never commanded his church, which members are a part of, to do something that he didn't have enough grace to bestow upon us to get it done. He looks at the church and he looks at the situation, but he looks at the world. And he gave us a great example that eliminates all excuses. We're not as poor as the churches of Macedonia. This precious example, in spite of deep poverty and great affliction, they gave to this special offering for the sake of other people. And I've pastored and lived long enough to see people in all kinds of situations go back and trust God. And God gives grace to give in spite of the situation. They gave to their power, to their ability. And by faith, they gave beyond their ability. And by the way, it's a waste of time for any Christian to pray to God and ask God to give you faith to give if you don't sacrifice from what you already have. It's a waste of time to beg God to give us more if we won't take what we already have and sacrifice for the cause of reaching the world. These people did that because they first given themselves to the Lord. And when God has the heart, you mark it down, there's no problem in giving. It burdens my heart when I see how long it takes missionaries to get to the field. And I see local churches, they go in, and many times they don't even get supported, and they drive hundreds of thousands of miles. It's the local church that God builds, and the heartbeat of the local church is here. I think about this undertaking of this local church, building the Walter Center, and I took a tour of some of the classrooms and all that's going on and all the effort and everything that's put forth. You know what's all done, being done? Because there's a world out there that the under-shepherd sees. He knows that Lancaster Baptist Church has a responsibility of evangelizing the world. But he also knows that those missionaries cannot get there unless he has a church full of people who've learned the principle of giving. You want to speed up the process? You let every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who's a part of this local church come to the point in their life where they say, God, help me to be a liberal soul. Help me to be a soul of blessing to my local church. Help me be generous in my giving. I know I'm going to gain from it. The Bible, I've already been blessed of God. And I know my circumstances are not the greatest, but give me enough grace to give any place. And you see, that building, once it's built, will have more students who will go to the mission field. It will have more people to give that they may go. What it needs is take what we already have, where we are right now, and help every person to become a liberal soul, that the future may even do more than is ever done for the cause of Jesus Christ. So my challenge to you today is honestly ask God in the area of giving, am I a liberal soul? That means you've learned to be generous, which means you're a church giver consistently. You're paying your tithes, proving to God you love him by giving your offering and proving, pleasing him with a heart that's cheerful and consistently giving for the cause of reaching the world. May God help us to have a church full of liberal souls. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You may be here today, and we're talking about money. And by the way, saved people who love God don't have a problem with talking about money. But you may not understand that because you've never trusted Jesus Christ. More than your money today, God wants your heart. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he came and died and shed his blood for your sins. And if you would have asked him today to save you, believe that he died, was buried, was raised from the dead, you could be born again into his family. And once you're in your family, you can learn the principles of giving, which is a part of worship. May God help us in this conference to have some liberal souls. Let's stand together.